The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, I'm joined now by Conor Faulkner, transport commentator and consultant to the RIAC. Conor, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
I'm going to stay with government because the programme for government is, if you'll pardon the pun, the roadmap to what lies ahead.
Theoretically.
What's in that roadmap for the motorist, the commuter?
Well, under the heading of transport, there's a fair amount in the programme for government which is motherhood and apple pie, you know, full of words that render the whole thing meaningless. So whenever you see explore, discuss, examine, assess, you may throw it out. It's just useless. So, for example, a fresh feasibility study on whether the metro will continue through Dublin Southwest. I wanted to sod the feasibility study, just start building it. But including that in the programme for government is essentially worthless. When they say they're going to examine something, forget about it. I think there are three things that are definitely coming our way. One is the removal of the old green policy of a forced 2-to-1 ratio between public transport and roads. Whatever the intention behind that, it turned out to be a bad policy, distorting spend. There's some ridiculous, unnecessary, over-engineered cycle lanes being built in various places now just to comply with that ratio. It's artificial and it's silly, and I'll be glad that it's gone. I think we're going to have a transport bill.
And do you think that's why the Green Party were had their feet put to the fire?
Well, I don't know. I mean, they're a small party that was in government for 5 years, and to their credit, they stuck to a full term. And we know that smaller parties tend to get punished for that. And there are policies in there that, you know, affected the last government in a very good way in many, many things. And I wouldn't be critical of the green approach per se, but that forced ratio, that artificial forced ratio, was doing more harm than good. It was distorting planning. I mean, if you look at South Dublin at the moment, there are cycle lanes being built there that are absolutely ludicrous. On the Firhouse Road, they installed a lovely cycle lane, which they didn't need. They dug up the road to do it a few years ago. They're now digging up the road again to put in a cycle lane that looks like something out of Star Trek, ridiculously over-engineered, with a super-duper surface and street furniture and this, that and the other. Lord knows how many bike sheds they're spending on it, and it was never even needed. So those sort of policy distortions, I think, are unhelpful, and they were caused by the 2-to-1. That'll be gone. That's good. I think we're likely to get a lot more cameras, speed cameras, traffic cameras.
Red light cameras. I've been advocating for years about slowing traffic down using the automated systems they use in Portugal. You're approaching, you're told this is a speed control zone, and if you go over 50 kilometres here, the traffic light about 100 metres ahead will go red.
Will trigger,
and you'll be stopped. So the incentive is to stay below the 50 and you'll get through unimpeded. But if you go to 52, 53... red light comes on and you have to stop.
So that it's engineered to keep the flow smooth. I think for red light running, that's more about our city centres, your Corks, Limericks, Galways, Dublins. And that's where occasional poor behaviour, motorcyclists, cyclists and motorists blocking yellow boxes going through junctions, etc. The cameras are physically there. All of our city centres are monitored. So it's really a question legalistically as to whether we want government monitoring to use all of those cameras.
Sometimes, you know, you're kind of forced to go through an amber because there's some guy coming up behind you so fast. And if you don't actually go with the flow and jam on, you've got a rear end.
Yeah, well, that's what the law...
That's his fault, by the way, the guy behind me. But...
Yeah, but, I mean, it's always the guy behind's fault when you're rear-ended. But the rule on an amber light, the legal rule on an amber light, is that you must stop unless stopping would be dangerous. Yeah. So if you make a driver's judgment call that to attempt to stop here would be dangerous, then the right thing to do is to flow through the junction.
So now we're back in the district court saying, Your Honour, I couldn't stop because...
Yeah, and, you know, as we do with speeding, you might have an automated system whereby you get a letter in the post with a little picture saying, Pat, you naughty boy, here's your driver number, here's a picture of you breaking a red light, you will have penalty points applied, and you then, as with speeding, it's your prerogative to say, no, I'm going to contest that, I'll go to court.
And it might double my points.
Might get you away clear.
Now, the point about doing something like that at a junction, and I'm thinking of several junctions where this happens, where regularly you see people breaking the lights. If you tell them, this is a controlled junction, there are cameras here, and that's written large, then it does modify driver behaviour in the same way as we're going to talk about the Google warning people of speed traps up ahead. You know, telling people that you will be caught
is helpful, but you're going to reach a tension at some point at the extent to which we will want citizens to be monitored 24/7. There are enough traffic cameras and CCTV cameras in Dublin to watch every inch of my life whenever I'm outdoors. And for everything from jaywalking to littering to yellow box violations to issue me with a sanction. But you're going to have a conversation at some stage about to what extent universal camera monitoring by the state is actually desirable. Whether it helps traffic flow or not, we'll reach a point where we don't want to be comprehensively monitored.
Now what about Google warning people that there's a speed trap ahead? What do you think? Because it does slow people down. If they think they're going to be nabbed, they will slow down. Is that the way we should go, or should we nab people and use the fine and the points as the deterrent rather than Google helping us to avoid those points, but also making us drive in a more...
Yeah, well, I tell you, I use the Google functionality all the time because it gives you a reliable journey time. So if I'm heading off down to Cork, for example, I'll see on my Google exactly how long it's going to take, and that's great. And laterally, it's also telling you where there are speed cameras, and you'll be prompted, you know, speed camera reported in your area as you pass it by. Is it still there? Yes or no? Now, is that a good feature that's helping road safety, or is it undermining it? Some of the road safety voices, the likes of Park and some of the others, are furious about it. They're saying, oh, this should be banned. It's undermining road safety efforts. I don't think so. I mean, the Gardaí themselves publish the safety camera zones. They'll be on these links on the roads, and this is where they'll operate. As a general rule, tell people. I mean, if you've got a driver coming too fast to a location, you have two choices. One, detect him, get 100 quid off him and give him 3 penalty points, naughty boy Pat. Or two, tell him to slow down and deduce him to slow down. So the purpose of a speed camera is not to catch motorists. The purpose of a speed camera is to slow traffic down and turn a black spot into a white spot. So personally, I'm very relaxed about that information being published. I don't think it undermines enforcement. It's something that the Gardaí do themselves. It's worth noting, mind you, that it remains an offence technically in law to have a device that is specifically designed to frustrate enforcement. So, you know, for example, you can get a coating for your registration plate that means it won't show up in a camera. That's actually an offence. That's a road traffic offence to have that. Whereas obviously having a phone, Google equipped in your car can't
and
be
they
construed.
Used to have these radar type devices in some cars that would detect the older speed guns, not so much the cameras now.
Yeah, they never worked terribly well, but you could buy one online with a promise from the manufacturer that it worked. But I think it's good to publish them, I do.
Transport Police, what do you think?
Well, now, this is the other sort of shiny piece that I think may come out of the programme for government. We have an airport police. They're not quite Gardaí. You do a double take in the airport. Are that guard, not a guard? Oh, airport police, what's that? And they're not quite Gardaí. They can only operate in the airport, and there's a number of specific things that they can do and they can't do. They do have power of detention, though not full power of arrest. So the theory is that we will have a transport police equivalent for public transport in our towns and cities. So appearing on the train system, on the Lewis system, on the buses, on the darts. We know we have a bit of a public order problem in certain locations on the network, so that's a concern. It's good to see it resourced. I have a slight concern here. Will they do their job properly? Will they look like Gardaí? Will they function like airport police? Or will they instead be, you know, look like RoboCop and have a slightly menacing uniform?
I'm comfortable with that. I'm comfortable with them looking like RoboCop.
I know
when you walk through continental airports and you see the guys walking up and down, they've got submachine guns strapped to their...
Yeah.
You don't see any messing.
Well, true, but I wonder about just sort of the tension in our environment. If you consider sort of male versus female bouncers, for example, there's really good evidence to show that a female bouncer actually dissolves tension. There's far less likely to be a fight, whereas the big male guy bristling with muscles, he may think he's a tough guy, but he's actually more likely to be involved in aggro than the female. So a softly, softly approach necessary.
Some of the comments and questions coming in. Can you ask Connor if he thinks the third lane will happen on the N11 now? And if so, will it be for cars or will it be a bus lane?
I'd like to see it installed. I think we need the capacity. As I say, the 2-for-1 is probably a reasonable rule of thumb, but it's very silly as a rigid rule. So there's loads of stuff we need to build, including metros and Lewis's. But to make a religion out of not building roads is a little silly. So I hope we will see it.
Our roads are a disgrace and so dangerous. No road markings. When was the last time white lines were redone? It's so dangerous. Well, they're done from time to time, but people will tell us in their locality that there are no markings at all. Yeah, we know that.
Our roads are not a disgrace. By European standards, they're actually very good, particularly the 6,000 or so kilometres of our primary road network. Secondary roads, country roads, we have a lot of them and some of them are poor, yeah.
Can you ask Connor, are motorbikes captured by speed camera vans? I was passed out yesterday by a bike, I reckon doing 130 kilometres per hour.
Yeah, although the front registration plate on a motorbike is often not read. But those Gatso vans can read, they can monitor 12 lanes in two directions. So unless these concealing is reg plate, yes.
You'll also probably pick up a scooter or electric bike, none of which have registrations on them.
True.
So you might see the perpetrator of an offence, but you won't be able to nab them.
Yeah, true.
In Australia, the radio stations announce where the speed traps are and everybody slows down.
Yeah, I mean, the Gardaí publish them. As I say, our speed trap locations are mapped and published, so they're not meant to be secret.
Connor, thank you very much for joining us. Connor Faulkner, who is a transport commentator and a consultant to the RIAC. Now,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.